So we're going to talk about life's pathways leading to joy. And this is a trail up in North Vancouver that Elaine and I walk on once in a while, and or maybe just once, because it's part of the Trans-Canada Trail. And the Trans-Canada Trail goes from one part of Canada right across to the other. And it's all connected by all these different trails. And you can go up into the Yukon, and you can go up into the Northwest Territories. And we would love to walk across the whole of Canada, but we're not going to live that long. I just know it, because it's already taken us quite a while to walk from Chilliwack to North Vancouver. But it's such a beautiful trip, and you just walk through a little pathway like this, and it's all trees, and it's all growth, and it's just alive. And it's all of God's creation. There's not a car in sight. There's no airplanes. There's just nothing. It's just the beautiful place to walk and just enjoy life. And so I really kind of like that. That's my kind of getaway place, or on a fishing, you know, in a boat on a fishing lake in the interior. There's lots of pathways. I mean, we have paths like that are dirt paths. We have concrete paths. We have the grouse grind. How many have done the grouse grind? Very. I didn't do the grouse grind yet, but I like to do the grouse grind. But I did there's a mountain, it's called Finlayson Mountain in Victoria, and it's kind of like the grouse grind, because you can tell right away, because when you get to the top, your heart is moved from here to the top of your head, and you can feel. You don't have to take your pulse like this. You just count as your head goes, bum, 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 bum. So I was really excited, because I went up there in probably an hour and a half, and I was excited because I went to my doctor after that, who's an athlete. He's a sports doctor, not because I'm an athlete. I just went because he just had an opening. So I was in his office, and I was really proud of myself. I said, "Hey, Doc, I went up Finlayson Mountain." And he says, "Yeah, that's good. I go up twice a day." I went up once in my life. And I was really excited, and he goes, "I go up twice a day." And I thought, twice a day? Like, he's just like skinny, real muscle, stuff like that, you know, like it's not normal. It actually probably is normal. I'm not normal. Anyways, it was like this pathway, and it's beautiful. When you get up to the top, it's worth the trip. It's actually worth the trip. It's worth the sweating and watching your feet so you don't trip and fall. I went hiking up on Finlayson Mountain, or not Finlayson Mountain, but Arrowsmith Mountain, just outside of Parksville. And I went with a paramedic friend of mine. And we got up on top of the mountain, and it was a bright, sunny day, and it was beautiful, and I was going to phone Elaine, but my cell phone wouldn't carry from there to Parksville, which is only probably 10 miles in a straight line, because I had TELUS at that time. Oh, did I say that? Yes, I did have TELUS. And so my other friend had Shaw, so I used his phone and phoned Elaine. It was great. And we're all excited being up there, like we have accomplished something. We're at the top of the world. And a helicopter flies really cool, like down through the valley and then up, and he comes down and he parks just over by, just drops down and parks, and he says, "Get off the mountain. There's a forest fire." I says, "Okay, can we get a ride?" And he says, "No." I says, "We'll pay for it." And he says, "No." And he just gets in his helicopter and leaves us there. And so we're coming down the mountain, and my friend, who's a paramedic, I got running shoes on because I'm a real seasoned hiker, right? And I'm coming down the hill, and I come down, and you know what? There's little rocks in the trail, and I started rolling. It was just like I had rollerblades on, only I didn't have any control over them, and I was going like this, and I went right into a creek bed in a bunch of trees, and I just crashed, and I was laying there thinking, "Oh, I wonder if I broke anything." Check myself out and everything, and my this guy I worked with for years, he says, "Way to go, Caruso." He says, "We can't get a helicopter in here to get you out. I can't pull you out of there. It's a good thing that you didn't get hurt." Now, that's good bedside manner, don't you think? He was more worried about what it's going to cost him than what it cost me. Oh, my goodness. Elaine gave me a candy here. I wonder if I should have it. Oh, well. It'll be a different kind of sermon. We also had a friend who was a Salvation Army pastor, and he wasn't very much of a hiker, and we took him up there, kind of to push him up. And when he got to the top of the mountain, this guy's dedicated, I'll tell you. He unfurls a Salvation Army flag. Can you imagine? Like, we were up there, not religious thing. This is just a trip up the mountain. So he gets up there and he, like this. And it says, what was the name of the Oceanside? No, Elaine worked for him. What was the name of the Salvation Army? Aerosmith Salvation Army. And it had, it was all everything. And I'm thinking, like, he's got pictures of it and that, and a video. Because he wants to show this back there. One of the guys we hiked up with happens to be a media guy. So I just took the video. Before we sent it to him, we changed a few things. Instead of Salvation Army on there, we put Oceanside Community Church and our logo. So he unfurled this flag, and guess what it said? It didn't say Salvation Army. So he was pretty upset. This next picture is about road trips. And you know, we like road trips, Elaine and I. And so when we were going to the Yukon 1974, we pulled into Watson Lake. We were going up to do some construction work. And at mile 635 on the Alaska Highway, that's 635 miles north of Dawson Creek. Okay? So you're not even north yet at this point. But people went there, and there's one guy who started doing some work up there, and he put a sign up there that said how far it was to his house from there. So if it's Vancouver, it's like maybe 1,200 miles. So then other people started putting up. Now they have this huge, like this, they call it the forest of signs. And they're from all over the world. People come up there and they put their sign up there because it's a pathway. The Alaska Highway is a pathway to the north. And we need to know that we're all on a path. We're all on a journey. And you know that your journey's kind of headed down this way and it's gone off a little bit and then you kind of had to kind of swing back, or maybe it even took that corner and you never came back to where you were. My life was away from Christ and my journey turned towards Christ, and then I never went back to that path that I was on before. And God has a plan for us. And that plan is really exciting because it says here, from a fellow path follower, Peter, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, this guy knows what it's like to walk on the path. He knows what it's like to have to make changes on the path. And so in chapter 2, he says, after the Holy Spirit blew into this room, filled them with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues, this is what he says to the people that are gathered. Chapter 2, verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to do to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep him in its hold. David said this about him. He says, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he has at my right hand, I will not be shaken. We just sang that. Isn't that awesome? We're not going to be shaken because Christ is in our lives. The winds can blow, the floods can come, the fire can come. You're not going to be shaken. You're still going to experience the maybe the pain and some of the anxiety and that, but you're not going to be shaken to your core. Your core is solid in Jesus Christ. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Listen to this. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. And you need to know that he will fill you, all right? He will fill you with joy. That's the stability inside. That's the thing that doesn't allow you to be shaken. You have to understand this. Everything in life changes sometimes the way we look at things. And so I'll just give you a personal example here on Thursday. I got some blood work done from my doctor. And I was in my office, and I got a phone call from the doctor's nurse, and she said, "You need to get to the ER right away." And that's all I could hear in that conversation. I said, "Why?" And she says, "Because there's some abnormalities in your blood count. And we want you to get there right now." And so I'm kind of in shock, and I don't know what, I never had a phone call like that. I've been with somebody who had a phone call like that. I've been with my friend Jim Brown, and many of you know him. I was in the office when they called him and said, "Jim, you have cancer. You have cancer, and you need, you're going to have surgery." And like, it was just like shock. But it wasn't me that time. It was me this time. And so I phoned, and Lane was there at the office, and I went and told Pastor Randy, and Pastor Randy prayed for me. And I went to the hospital, and they didn't know what to do. Like, I went there, and my doctor hadn't got a hold of the hospital yet, and I told him that I had, you know, abnormalities in my blood, and I just didn't know what, this is a new path. This is a new pathway. And so I was sitting there for a while, and then my doctor's office phoned back and said, "You know what, we have an appointment tomorrow, but maybe you should, you know, maybe you could just, we can talk about it at tomorrow," but I'm already shaken in my physical being, not shaken in my heart. I'm not shaken in my heart. I have that peace. I don't understand the situation, and I'm a paramedic, so I'm running through all the files that I know. And so I said, "Okay, well, I'll head out." And so I checked myself out of ER. And then on the way home, Elaine and I were talking, and she said, "You know, I think you should go back and get the test done." And I said, "Yeah, let's go." And so I went back, and about by 5 o'clock, they had checked everything out and said, "You know what? Actually, the results from yesterday's blood work are different than the results today." And so there's nothing wrong with you in your cardiac system. And there's lots wrong with me. And it's all up here, okay? It's "Jim, don't eat that." It's "Jim, get off the couch and go for a walk." It's "Jim, don't work as much as you should. Don't carry the things that the Lord is carrying." That's what's wrong with me. Been wrong with me for a long time. And so I did go to the doctor, and he was not really happy with me. You ever go to your doctor and he's not happy with you? I'm thinking, that's really serious when he's not happy with you. And I'm not happy with myself, so that makes three of us in the room. Anyways, he said, "Look, there was a difference in some of the blood work, but there's also some serious stuff. You got high blood pressure. You got your cholesterol's high. Your diabetes is high." And and I'm going, wow. When I was laying in the hospital, I thought, what if the doctor comes in and says, "You can't go back to your job anymore because you're not healthy enough"? What would I do? I mean, first of all, I felt like I let my family down. I let my church down. And I let God down because really I didn't look after myself. Now, the diabetes thing, I mean, that was something I inherited. Wonderful. I'd rather have a BMW or something, but no. This and the chance of colon cancer instead of a motorhome. But I don't have colon cancer. I don't have any cancer. But this is something that I just have a hard time admitting to. But what I'm talking about here is that we have paths, and I have a path that was going straight, and then all of a sudden, there's an off-road. And so I'm coming back on that path now with some wisdom and some direction. But in all the time, my flesh and my soul were saying, what am I going to do? And yet in my heart, just like this, you have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with your joy in your presence. Psalm 16 is where we get this out of what David's talking about in our Peter's talking about in Acts chapter 2. David's the anointed king of Israel. He knows what it's like to follow God. He knows that when he's messed up, David messed up a few times as well, but he always knew that deep down inside his core that there was a God that loved him. And he didn't give up on him. And even when David did some pretty crazy things, and as a result, David wasn't even allowed to build the temple because he was a man of war, and Solomon got to build a temple. But God still loved him, and David knew that. And so in Psalm 16, listen to this. He says, keep me safe, O God. I've run for dear life to you. You got to run to him. All this world will fade away when you find yourself in a situation where you got to run to him. I say to God, be my Lord. Without you, nothing makes sense. And these God-chosen lives around me, what splendid friends they make. That's who you are. God-chosen friends, part of this family. We need family. I had lots of response, and Pastor Randy, you know, checked on me all through the weekend and just asking how I was doing, we just need one another. We need to share what we're going through, but we also need to receive what people can offer into us. David knew that. He knew that sometimes he felt totally alone, but he was never alone. And then David says this in his psalm. He says, don't just go shopping for a god. Gods are not for sale. Isn't that interesting? This is the Message translation. Gods are not for sale. I'll swear I'll never treat God names like brand names. There is only one God. There is no other gods before him. There is no other gods above him. He is above all gods. There is one God. Is God, our Father, God, and Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And there is no name above any of those names. Every other god that's been created, and there are created gods, there's thousands of gods, and some of you from your cultures know that. But there's only one God who reigns supreme in majesty. He is our God. He is the one that lives inside of us. And we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. He's the only God. He's the only God that came down to his creation and made a way for us to go and connect with him. We don't have to work. We don't have to pay anything. We don't have to give anything. We don't have to lose anything. We don't have to sacrifice anything because Jesus Christ did it all. He did it for us. And David didn't receive that. He didn't know Jesus in the way we know Jesus, but he knew that Jesus was not another God that you could buy off the shelf or you could fall in love with and then work your way to heaven or wherever it is they consider the place to be with that God. There is none. There is none above the God we serve. He goes on to say, my choice is you, God, first and only. And now I find I'm your choice. Isn't that cool? You know, sometimes we can go, oh yeah, God, you're awesome. I love you. I just think you're the best. I just want to spend the rest of my life with you. But then God's saying, well, I want to spend the rest of the life, your life with me. You get that? That's why he created us. He didn't create us to go, hey, yeah, I just want you to love me. I want to love you back. I want to pour into you. I want you to realize that there's so much more that I created you for. So he says, day and night. Or let's go on here. It says, you're my God and my only God, and now I find I'm your choice. You set me up with a house and a yard, and you make me your heir. I love watching the lottery. I don't buy lottery tickets, but it says, would you like a house? You know, you could win one in White Rock, or you could win one in Okanagan or in Vancouver Island or up in Whistler, and they're all $2.4 million houses, nice yards. We lived in we rented a place in Victoria where the landlords spent $100,000 landscaping their yard. Oh, yeah, it was really nice. Dan, you're perking up there, eh? This is a few years ago, too. It was really, really awesome. $100,000. That's for the outside. The inside was pretty awesome. We had a pretty nice suite there. I like the idea of my own house and, you know, where you can have grow tomatoes and stuff like that or apples or whatever you want. I like that. I like to have, you know. But he says right here, you made me. You set me up with a house and a yard. So this house is in heaven. It's a mansion. And I don't know how big heaven is, but that's your yard. That's a pretty cool place. And then you made me your heir. I just wondered, you ever thought, well, if only my parents were multimillionaires, you know, and generous multimillionaires, then I'd just have it. I'd have it. I'd have that Lamborghini. I'd have, you know, I don't know if they can get a tow connection for a Lamborghini to pull a trailer, but you probably don't need one, right? If you have a Lamborghini, you could just probably stay in hotels. You wouldn't go fishing where I like to go fishing, but the reality is that God has made you his heir. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It says that right in Romans chapter 8. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Not bad, eh? Not bad, like whatever you need. Oh, now you're thinking, I'm heading out of here today and going to pull in some of that heir stuff. I'm going to start living like a king's kid. It's not that. What David's saying here, what God is saying when he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you, you will get what you need, and sometimes you'll get more than you need. Right? Some of you have gotten things that you just only wished for, but you never thought you could ever have, and you're just blown away that God would give them to you. I just think that's awesome. That's why he is a good, good, good father. Because he loves you. David says, the wise counsel God gives when I'm awake is confirmed by my sleeping heart. Man, how many of you lay awake at night and process things? I do. Not every night, but when there's some big ones going on, I think I really need to help God solve them. And I don't have much wisdom at 3 a.m. But I just seem to try to help him. And he says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Cast them all on him. Throw them, poof, like that. Just throw them upon him. And he, because he cares for you. So if he cares for you and you believe what he says to you through the day, he gives you that opportunity to sleep and rest in him at night. I'm getting better, but I know some of you struggle with this often. You get some things that you think about, you need to solve. Some areas you're really afraid of. Some terror, fear. It's inside of you. You don't need to live in that. With David saying here, I'll stick with God. I've got a good thing going here, and I'm not going to let it go. I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. That pretty well covers it, doesn't it? You can be happy from the outside, but inside you're rotten away because you're fearful and because you're tormented. You can be full and happy in the inside, but your body countenance, your message that's coming across, is just not telling anybody that you're happy. If you're happy and you know it, tell your face. All right? Get it out there. It's nonverbal communication is far more powerful than the words that you hear. What is that Darth Vader shirt that you can get, your t-shirt? It's got 12 different expressions. I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm lonely, I'm fearful, and it's all the same picture. Right? I mean, that's not what it is inside. Inside, God has given us emotions, and we need to let them out. We need to be an open book for people to read, and that's very dangerous. But David said, hey, I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. I'm firmly formed. He canceled my ticket to hell. That's not my destination anymore. You've been moved from one train to the other. Remember when I was in Russia, I was there with Fred Ilyin, and he was saying, okay, now, Jim, you're going to go to Perm, but you're going to go by yourself. And so I already talked to the conductors of the train, and it's a Russian-only train. He thought this would be kind of funny for me. This is one where they have the chickens and everything on there. And so he just says, okay, there's the train. Let's go. Like, that's Fred. Let's go. So you're running. I'm running with a bunch of bags and stuff like that. We're throwing these bags up, and he's trying to get me on the train. The train is starting to leave. And then he goes, oh, no, no, Jim, it's the wrong train. And so there, with the train starting to go, and I'm just about on, and then they're throwing the bags off, and we had to go on the other side of the train station and find the right train. God doesn't do that. You have been taken off that train, it's going to hell, and you're on that train, it's going to heaven. And you're going to live there forever with Jesus Christ. And it's not a mix-up. You are his. And he sent Jesus Christ to pay the ticket. No more fear. And then he says, now you've got my feet on the path of life. All radiant from the shining of your face. Ever since you took my hand, I'm on the right way. So Jesus says to his disciples, because he was there with David, you know. We don't read about him in the same way we read about Jesus with his disciples, but he was there. He's there in creation. He was there all the way through the Old Testament. So Jesus says this to his disciples. We use this lots in funerals and times like that. But listen, John 14 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go, Jesus speaks the truth. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. It says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas right away says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? This is it. Jesus says, I am the way. The living way. I am the life and I am the truth. And we need to walk on his path. We need to walk on his way. We need to know that the way is inside of us, that we're not in the way, we're on the way. The way is inside of us. And so what does that mean? Well, that means that you can walk in the way because he will show you what the way is for you. Jesus answered and said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one person comes to the Father except through me. Well, are you living that life? Are you on that path? Can you actually say that I'm walking on that path? And off there's off roads. There's off. I don't know how many times I got lost. Especially you go to a place like Portland, Oregon. And it's like this. That's all. There's five or six lanes, and they're one on top of the other. All you have to do is make one wrong turn, and I've gone through mountains. And I've seen some awesome pictorial views, but I've gone up and through the mountains. How do you turn around and come back? You don't until you get way out there and your gas tank just about empty, and then you see where it says U-turn. Come back. You're going to get on some off-roads in your life. You're going to get off some off-roads in the way that you live your Christian life. But you need to know that God is with you and that He will bring you back. And you can live. You can live on this life road. And if you live on this life road, you can have joy. How many of you need joy? Hey, is some of that, kind of that joy candle flickered out in you? Has this world kind of messed you up? Some of the fears and some of the things that have happened on your journey, on your pathway, have they kind of just snapped that joy out of your life? Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy. It's when you're kind of happy deep down inside. You have a peace that runs deep like a river. That's joy. And you know what's beautiful? Is that Jesus is the joy in your life. And so the more you're connected with Him, the more you give Him, the more you're with Him, the more you're going to have the joy. And the more you walk on His path, the more you're going to have that peace.